It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show here on Highland Radio, and it's good to be back. Thank you very much to Donald Kavanagh, who's stood in for me for the last few days, and we are live now for the next 3 hours, and we're broadcasting from outside the studio today. It is the 9 till noon show, live from Genesis Aesthetic Skin and Hair Studio in Gwydor. And you're invited to come along and join us as we celebrate 30 years of Genesis. We'll be chatting to the woman behind the business, Mary Ferry Brennan, shortly, just to get an insight into the work that she does, but also, I think, too, how you can maintain such a successful business for so long. We're also going to be speaking to representatives of the Donegal Airport and the vital role it plays to the people of West Donegal and beyond. We've got Your Voice, Your Community. Our focus is on the Jehovah's Witness community. So perhaps there is an awful lot of perceptions out there about that community, but how much actual knowledge is there? Well, hopefully we'll fill in any blanks there. Also looking forward to Moya Brennan, the Donegal Person of the Year, joining us here at Genesis. We haven't spoken to her since she picked up that accolade in Dublin. Was it earlier this month or last month now at this stage, perhaps? I don't know. But anyway, she will be with us today. That and so much more besides. It is generally business as usual, by the way, so we'll be covering all the usual stuff you'd expect us to do. And also, our lines are open. You've got full interactive contact with us, 086 60 25000. That's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 07491 25000, and you're welcome to email comments@highlandradio.com. And if you want to watch the show and all of our guests live here from Gwydor, well then please log on to YouTube. You can watch us on your big screen TV or your Fire Stick if you've got a smart TV, of course. And we're on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, and on the X platform on Twitter. It is Thursday morning, which is always a busy one for the papers. So we'll start with the Tyrconnell Tribune. And as major concerns arise over the lack of progress on the Carrigart Downings Greenway and the delays over the installation of a new pontoon at Meva Pier, community spokespeople have told the Tribune they fear that these projects may be lost because of undue delays. We are told, the paper, that the 2.6-kilometre Carrigart Downings walkway has been in the pipeline for over 10 years, yet there's no sign of any work on the ground, and amid growing concern that it seems to have fallen off the political radar indeed. And it is an issue because we know it's quite important to the people of that area. I have done interviews whereby I elected representatives. I asked them, will it be ready for next summer? Yes, it'll be ready for next summer. I don't know how many summers ago that was. And there's also two other developments in the area, i.e. I think there is access to the beach in Downings that has ground to a halt because funding has drowned up or dried up. So an awful lot going on there, potentially, but not the money to do it. If anyone out there in the political sphere has the insight, let us know. We'll share it with the listeners. The Donegal News reports of a poster puzzle. Fianna Fáil Senator Niall Blaney's insisting the posters erected this week are not election posters, but are instead advertising a public meeting in Letterkenny. Posters for a meeting in the Silver Tassie Hotel on May 6th went up around the northern end of the county over the last few days. It's been suggested they look like election posters promoting Senator Blaney, who's standing for Fianna Fáil in the European elections. And that would be in breach of election rules because election posters are not allowed to be erected this early. However, looking at the posters, there is no vote number one. There's no real reference to the election. So for my limited knowledge, they don't look like election posters to me. Senator Blaney himself insists they are not election posters and he's not breaching any rules. But of course, I suppose it's clever because firstly, it's advertising the meeting. Secondly, it's on the front page of the Donegal newspaper and it's just been discussed on this show. So it's worked in terms of raising publicity. The Derry News this morning, the trial of Grey Steel man Jonathan Creswell ended dramatically yesterday when the court heard that the defendant had been found dead. Jonathan James Creswell, 36, of Briar Hill Gardens in Grey Steel, had been on trial yesterday, or had been gone on trial, or had had went on trial yesterday for the murder of 21-year-old Katie Simpson on August 9th, 2020. Miss Simpson died following an incident in Gortnessy Meadows, Letter Shandoni, on August 3rd, 2020. 20, and I don't know what the family must feel about that. One can only imagine. Let's switch to the national newspapers now, and we'll go to the Irish Times. And there was some media scrum yesterday, wasn't there, as DUP leader, former DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson, he appeared in court yesterday, charged with rape and other sexual offences on dates spanning more than two decades. His wife, Eleanor Donaldson, who faces four charges relating to the same police investigation, appeared alongside him at Newry Magistrates Court. Mr. Donaldson faces a total of 11 charges: rape, gross indecency with or towards a child, and 9 counts of indecent assault on a female. The charges relate to two alleged victims over 21 years between 1985 and 2006. The offences of rape is alleged to have taken place between January 1st, 1985, I beg your pardon, and January 1st, 1991, and that of gross indecency between January 1st, 2005 and December 31st, 2006. Both defendants were released on continuing bail. The case was adjourned until May 22nd. But as I say, huge police presence, huge journalistic presence there as well, as you can imagine. And there's very strong advice in terms of what can be said about that outside, you know, what's being officially reported from the court case, for fear of damaging anyone's right to a fair trial, but also risking any alleged victims, risking them getting justice. The Irish Independent reports on a story we've covered here on numerous occasions, and that is that where you live can signal if you're more likely to die of cancer. As new figures show, five-year survival rates in the most deprived areas are still just 59%, 9% lower than in influential parts of the country. It's an air code lottery, isn't it? And it shouldn't be that way. How could it be that just because you are from a particular area and you get cancer, that there's a 9% less chance of you surviving for 5 years. Well, the stark pre-pandemic gap is likely to have widened even further due to the impact of COVID disruption and the failure to provide development funding for the National Cancer Strategy, according to a report published today. The report from the European Cancer Organization and the Irish Cancer Society highlights the inequalities which continue to have an effect with those in the least well-off areas at greater risk of dying from the disease. The report highlights the knock-on effect of lifestyle, later diagnosis, and less timely access to treatment on some of the less well-off sections of society. And there are further details in that and percentages and what have you, which we may dig into later on in the programme. But as I say, you know, the thought that there are people not with us that should be with us simply because of where they're from is very hard to swallow. The Irish Daily Mail this morning: President Michael D. Higgins has said he'll be completely recovered in a matter of weeks after revealing he suffered a mild stroke. Now, there was a bit of back and forth on this, in that you might remember the president was hospitalised and some details were revealed, but not all of the details were revealed. And I do note that some people on social media said that this shouldn't have been softly revealed in a media interview, that this information should have been made public at that time. He is the president. What do you think? Should he have had the right to the privacy he enjoyed, or given the nature of his role, should that information have been given to the public? I don't know, really, to be honest with you. I'm a bit nonplussed. Well, the 83-year-old was admitted to hospital in February after experiencing what was described at the time as a mild transient weakness, but which he revealed on Wednesday was a mild form of stroke. Speaking during a visit to Manchester yesterday, the president said, "The prognosis for the future, I'm glad to tell you, is very good. In another couple of weeks, I'll be completely recovered." On to the Farmers' Journal today, and their lead story is grass fires light up cattle trade in March. A dry, sunny week has had a huge impact on the cattle trade, with grass fires lighting up the trade in March. The shackles of the wet spring are now off, with some exceptional prices being paid for cattle to go to grass. The Irish Farmers' Journal Mart bids database shows the dry week has benefited light weanlings the most, with 200 kilograms to 300 kilogram weanlings up 20 cent per kilogram, or between €40 and €60 ahead on the previous week. And there is more rain forecast for the south of the country, but it would seem that relatively dry weather might continue for us for a while here in the northwest. It's certainly no summer yet, Right, okay. Hi, Charlie. Good morning, Greg. Nice to see you visiting lovely Green Guidor. Love to all my friends indeed. Charlie, it is lovely to be here. Dolores is watching as well. Good morning, Greg and team. Dolores, always one of the first in and one of the first to say hello. Thank you, Dolores, for being on board. Right, let's continue with the papers here in the Irish Daily Star this morning. The Director of Public Prosecutions has ruled that no charges be brought against Gardaí involved in the fatal shooting of George Nkencho over 3 years ago. I remember this case quite clearly. The 27-year-old died after he was shot during an incident involving members of the Garda Armed Support Unit outside the family home at Manorfields Drive, Clonay, County Dublin, on December 30th, 2020. It followed a standoff between the deceased, who was armed with a kitchen knife, and Gardaí. Mr. Nkencho had earlier been involved in an incident at a local Eurostar store when he assaulted a shop assistant. And as has become the norm seemingly nowadays, this is another case that's been dragged into some sort of I wouldn't say culture war, I don't know, maybe that's the way to describe it, whereby you could almost know which accounts on social media to go to, whereby people would say it's the right decision, and other accounts where people say it's an absolutely horrendous decision. It is the decision, though, of GSOC, the DPP. They have independently, as most would see it, I think, reviewed the case, and they don't believe there is one to answer. An update on the situation at RTE in the Sun. RTE continues to teeter on the brink of disaster 1 year on from the payment scandal. Furious workers warned yesterday. Some 400 jobs are set to be cut as part of reform plans following the controversy. Two independent reports into governance and culture at RTE, which will affect the government's €56 million bailout for the state broadcaster, have still not been delivered. And with the swinging cuts looming, Taoiseach Simon Harris told the Dáil that staff at RTE have been put through the ringer and have done nothing wrong and should be supported. Rightio. And I'm not sure if you've been following Mr McEntee's comments of late. Fewer than 100 of the 7,300 people who have been refused refugee status since the start of 2023 have been deported, Justice Minister Helen McEntee admitted. Speaking on RTE Radio 1 News at 1, the minister stated it is better to assist people to leave rather than physically deport them. But that's clearly not working, is it? She added, it is quite a small number of people who have been physically removed. I think it's important to stress that it's not where we actually want it to be. The number I'd say physically removed is less than 100. Now, unfortunately, and you might have seen the exchange between the Minister and Michael McNamara, it's very, very possible that the government has very solid information on the whole system, or maybe all the right answers are there. But what was very clear is that the Justice Minister was not familiar with those answers or able to answer most of those questions, unfortunately. And that is arguably unforgivable for someone in that position, knowing that you're going before an Oireachtas committee, knowing that you're going to be questioned by, you know, very experienced, intelligent people, and not to be able to answer the basics. And in some cases, it has to be said, perhaps not fully understanding the system, and certainly not able to articulate how the European Migrant Pact, is that the correct phraseology? I believe it is. How that will actually positively influence the situation, given the fact that we're not getting elements of that pact right as is. But I think it's well worth anyone, just for your own education and understanding, anyone who hasn't seen that exchange in that committee between, I think, primarily Michael McNamara and Helen McEntee, to have a look at that. All right, that was a run through the newspapers. Anything catch your ears? 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. It is great to be back with you. It's lovely to be off, but it is really good to be back sitting in with you here on the 9 till noon show. We want you involved in the conversation, as always. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. Not just on what I've just been talking about. If there's something you want to raise, a bit of good news, requests, dedications, anything, get in touch with us. I sound desperate there. I'm not desperate, really. really. What I'm trying to say is that I really well. What are you laughing at, Joe? I'm saying we really welcome your input into the program. It's me, Greg Hughes, here live from Gwydor. The team with us here is Caroline Orr, as always, researching and producing. Shannon with us as well. And, of course, Joe Dex, who's helping us with the technical side of things. All right, we'll be joined by our first guest in our mobile studio, you could say, after we take this break. Okay, you are very welcome back, and we are joined in our studio. But it's not really, it's our studio, but it's also Mary Ferry's studio, of course. This is your backyard, of course. Mary Brennan, Mary Ferry Brennan, good morning to you, and thanks so much for having us.
Oh, thank you, Greg. You're welcome.
Congratulations, 30 years in business, a remarkable achievement.
Yeah, it's 3 decades. It's unbelievable. Years have just flown by. You know, it doesn't seem that long when I opened up in Fulcara. That doesn't seem like 30 years for sure anyway, you know.
Mm. How long have you been on this site here? Because this is, it seems purpose built.
It is, yeah. That was my aim in the end. You know, this is 16 years I'm here. Mm. 2008, I purposely built this place to, you know, cater for everything under the one roof. Because prior to that, I was running from, I had 2 salons. The college going, it was like running from A to B and staff here and staff there. So in the end, when this site became available, that's when I decided, okay, let's do it. And
are you still running from A to B, albeit in the one building, or are you managing to strike some sort of a work-life balance?
Yeah. No, it's brilliant. Like, I don't even need to drive. I'll walk next door.
That's a blessing and a curse too at the same time, is it?
It is. Now, it has its advantages and then it has its disadvantages where you find it hard to switch off if you're having a day off. The salon's still visible. You can still see it out your window. Mm. So you can... It's tough to switch off, yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of our listeners will be familiar with more urban areas, right? Did anyone say to you that sort of creating this type of business in a more rural area that maybe you wouldn't have the footfall or the business or maybe people wouldn't travel as far or whatever? I mean, did you have faith in what you were doing here?
Totally. Like, Greg, back in 1993 when I graduated, there was like, not many salons in Donegal because I was really researching and all my friends were filling in their CAOs to go to college and it was like kind of the done thing. You go to college and I knew what I wanted to do. So while they were doing that, I was looking through the yellow pages to see where I could find a beauty college to train in. But that it was unheard of. It was like they thought I was mad. Do you know, and then... It was so expensive. So I went to London and there I did office work and then I did college at night to progress.
So Gallagher Beauty College is in London, is it?
No, it isn't. This is where I had to go to earn money.
I get you.
And I was only 19, yeah. But I needed to earn money to come back and pay for the course. So the course was costing £6,000 and you had to live in Dublin. That was the nearest place. So I decided to go, and then I went to Pittman College at night to kind of progress, and I became a secretary and then a PA and was doing well. But sure, I came back home, and I was young and spent all my money. I had still no money when I came back home to go to college. So that's where the support of my parents came in. Thank God they backed me and went to the bank, got a loan, and did the whole thing. But, I do remember when I opened Fulcara on the main street, there was one man who said to me about, say, 7 years later, I met him outside the post office, may rest in peace, he's dead now, and he says, I gave you 6 months when you opened up.
Isn't it funny how we remember in life those little interactions, isn't it?
Yeah, just casual conversations. Sitting in his wheelchair and he said that to me, and I says, is that all you give me was 6 months? You know?
And I think, too, there's another... In terms of the employment you provide, okay? Because, I mean, obviously, West Donegal, there's major employers, people know there's employers that come and go as well, right? And we get TDs and senators or what have you going to announce certain jobs and what have you. And I get that with scale. But I think sometimes in certain industries, the employment that's provided through you, through your business, is not really often... recognized, I think, in the way it is, in that you are supporting people who are supporting themselves and supporting families as well.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get the same credit, yeah. I don't think, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, from even from the beginning, whenever I started, you know, you just started with one member of staff, and then you progress and you get maybe two and then three. And then eventually when I opened Gwy d'Or Salon, that was 4 years later, so I had two places going. So I might have had like three in one and three in another, that was six. So it kept growing and growing. And, you know, as if you get a good therapist, therapists move on. They get trained up. You train them to the highest standard, then they move on. And fair play to them. Lots of them have opened their own places and are doing really well. Some have moved on and travelled and gone abroad. But for sure, you know, you go through a lot of stuff, but they do well out of it as well. And that's when then in 2005.
Check notes.
2005. I had to check notes because that's when I had to then train. I trained in the teaching course
This is something I didn't know about you, is that you teach as well as run this business, or you certainly did for a very long time.
Still doing it.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Still doing it. So that was through the ETB, and I changed the Pulcara Salon into a college because I was training all the girls, and then they were leaving and opening up. I said, I need to do this for a living. I enjoy
teaching
and passing on the knowledge. So then it was like 16 students every year for the last 19 years.
Brilliant.
Okay, numbers have dropped there recently, but we moved to Gador then, and there's a fabulous centre down in the ETB.
I don't want to be controversial, and I don't think it's controversial, but have you noticed sort of a difference in students over the last while? I've spoken to some people in this industry and other industries that, you know, there are certain industries, journalism's one of them, right? You know, hairdressing, I'm sure, beauty and what have you, where you do have to kind of do your time. You know, you have to do the tough stuff too beforehand. Are you finding, and I'm a great advocate for younger people, right? So I would never criticize them en masse, but are you finding that maybe, I'm not using the word entitlement, but perhaps maybe younger people are less inclined to want to go through that sort of process now than maybe 16 years ago?
Only in the last number of years. Only like we never did really start a course without 16 bums on seats. And that was right up until there, say, post-COVID there. That's when it all started to kind of deteriorate. So we're still doing like eight students, seven students, but it was really good up until then. And it's a tough year. It's a tough year of training, and like it's first year nursing and the anatomy and physiology. So
right.
They do come out with a fantastic qualification. It's an ITEC qualification with four diplomas, and they can travel anywhere in the world with it. Even like there's a link with the cruise ships and everything. So not only lately, lately it has dropped. But the good thing that's happening just now is we are getting into schools to talk to more schools.
But also too, these things do go in cycles. You know, I mean, there was a period of time where no one wanted to work in construction or no one wanted to work
in
architecture because they didn't think it was a job for the future.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years later, there's no one to work in construction and there's no architects. So these things,
they are
cyclical, aren't they?
Yeah.
When you sort of timeline your career, you know, from, you know, graduating 93, opening the first at the Falclara Clinic 94, Gwy d'Or Beauty Clinic in 98, 2005, as you mentioned there, you know, there's little sort of markers in life and career. COVID was another one, was it, in that, was that sort of, I don't know, of a reset, a reboot, or how did COVID affect your industry?
Oh, that terrible. Yeah. I mean, it was complete closure. But then again, I suppose for me, I think a positive came out of it.
That's kind of what it's left a question open-ended.
I had to rethink my whole thing, and doing teaching full-time, that was sick, opening the salon 6 days a week. It was crazy. And I don't know how I did it, but I did it. But now I decided to go 3 days a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and half the staff. So I went from like 12, maybe 13 staff down to six. And it's great.
Yeah.
It's a more balance. I have a more balance in my life. And
efficiency. It's probably,
absolutely.
I mean, you probably have the, you know, the same output of clients. It's just you're doing things more
efficiently.
And
staff are not worn out.
Yeah.
Do you know what? A member of staff can be from a Monday to a Saturday. By a Saturday, it's like so monotonous.
Yeah.
And they are tired. They're exhausted, you know.
So what kind of stuff do you do here, besides the obvious?
We do, like, we do all the basic beauty treatments. I say basic beauty treatments because that's what I started with. Like, you start with your eyelash tints, your facials and your massages, and then it's evolving all the time. You have to keep on top of the game. There's always something new treatment. So then there was laser. I launched laser in 2008. And to be honest with you, Greg, I wouldn't be opened here today if I didn't do laser.
Right.
I'd have been left behind. You would have closed your doors.
That was a game changer, was it?
Totally. Mm. If you didn't move the times, really, you know, you did notice a lot of other salons closing down because your little basic beauty treatments is not going to keep you going.
Yeah, I get you.
You have to go. And then from laser, I went into aesthetics in 2015. And
what's aesthetics?
That's injectables. So you're doing injectable skin boosters and dermal fillers. Mm. And that's huge at the minute. Aesthetics, the whole industry has changed. And an example is, like, you take a moisturizer and the thing was you rub it on your face and that would be enough. Not now. Now you inject it in.
So I wasted my time this morning.
You did.
Okay. Some say I waste my time every morning moisturising this old saddle. But anyway, yeah, you have to stick with the times. And also, too, there's an expectation. People are more switched on. You know, the days where, you know, if you were in a more built-up urban area and you were more with it, and I don't know how else to phrase it or whatever, you know, yeah. And maybe, you know, more rural areas would lag behind. No, that's not the way it is anymore. Everyone now wants the exact same standard of treatments and the same availability of treatments on their doorstep.
They do. And you know, it doesn't matter being in a rural area. You wouldn't believe the amount of opportunities I've got to move to Letterkenny. They've given me a unit, given me a place in this hotel and that hotel and move. But I nearly took it up one time years ago and I didn't. Thank God I didn't. But people travel. If they're getting results and good treatments, they come from all over. They, you know, they can travel up to 2 hours for a treatment.
Yeah, indeed. So just to make people aware as well, whilst we are here, that you offer advanced training courses at Genesis. These are complements. This is the next level on from the iTech course. Microneedling, dermaplaning, spray tanning, ETC. So if someone goes through the iTech, then on to here, they're pretty much well equipped to you know, really start their career in earnest.
Yeah. They're more employable. And even at the minute, we have revamped the actual beauty therapy course this year, which is great. So we've added new stuff as well. You know, like popular in salons, eyelash extensions, gel polish. So we have revamped it, and that's brilliant. You know,
and another thing that's, I'm not saying it's unique, but it's pretty special here, because a lot of what we've talked about up to now is sort of just making yourself feel a bit better, looking after your skin, prolonging your skin and what have you. But you also work with a lot of people, you know, with skin conditions too, which is I mean, it's still beauty, but it's into a more sort of, I'm not saying it's medical, but you know what I mean? You're assisting people with skin problems. Tell us a bit about that.
You know, you'll have lots of men, women and kids, and they come with like conditions like, you know, like overgrowth, keratosis on the skin, you know, the age spots or the crustiness, and the kids with skin tags just hanging off their chin, off their nose, men, women with eyelid, you know, the skin tags hanging off their eyelid.
Yeah.
So they can all be removed really successfully and easy.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe the change it makes in them.
They 100%. Yeah, like I get it.
They're so happy. By just taking that one skin tag away, it's unbelievable.
All right. Listen, brilliant stuff. We'll talk more before the day's out, I am absolutely sure. But we've loads of people to meet and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the coffee's delicious.
Too strong, maybe.
That's Caroline, but we were a democracy here and the majority of us like it. So unfortunately...
Greg, I just wanted to say, thank you to all my loyal clients over the years, and even when I started.
That's a two-way relationship too, though. You have to be very good to them as well.
We are.
You earn the loyalty. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. And to the team I have downstairs. I mean, we wouldn't have done this. You don't have a backup, a team, you wouldn't get here today. So it was them and the support of the community that got me to where I am.
And an invite here, come join us. What's happening, actually, just in terms of public involvement here?
So we're asking anybody to pop in today. If they book a treatment today, they get 30% off.
Nice.
They also get a free ticket at the door for a free hamper. There is
so you book today, but you don't have to have the treatment today? Or is it
No, you don't have to have
it today. Okay, so just book it today.
Just book it today,
off.
Yeah. They're also going to be...
Because it's 30 years, you see. Do you see what she's doing there?
30%, yeah. Yeah, good. And they also... There's tickets for sale downstairs for the cancer flights. It's a hamper worth €480. And
we're going to be speaking to, because I know that's something very important to you, we're going to be speaking to a couple of people, Mary and Kathleen, who are involved with the cancer flights, the Donegal cancer flights and services, and we'll push even more than at that point how we can get tickets and all that type of stuff.
Yes.
Okay, because it's very vital. Also, Moya Brennan coming in, what about that?
Yeah,
Donegal Person of the Year, not too bad.
I know, it's fantastic. She's home, she's available, it's brilliant.
Excellent, brilliant stuff. We look forward to seeing her. All right, we'll chat again before the day's out, Mary Ferry Brennan. Is there anything else you want to add now? Because you do have reams of paper in front of you.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, I don't. Can we see?
We covered it all, didn't we?
I think we covered it all.
All right, brilliant stuff. We'll catch up anyway over the course of the morning. Mary, thank you so very much. And thank you so much for inviting us up here too, by the way. It's beautiful. A lovely drive this morning.
Especially
up
in the morning like this. This is good. Yeah.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much indeed. That's Mary Ferry Brennan there, celebrating 30 years in business and also raising money at their birthday celebrations today in Genesis for Cancer Flights. Call down and see us, see the crew here. You can buy tickets. What are the tickets for, though? Sorry.
Oh, the tickets are for the cancer flights.
Yeah, but it's a draw, is it?
Oh, yeah. So it's a hamper, and the hamper's worth $480.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So get in here, get your tickets, support the cancer flights, and you could be with a chance to win that draw. And come in and say hello to us here and the staff, and book your treatments today specifically, because it's 30 years in business, and you get 30% off. You don't have to get them today. Of course, you'd be lucky to get an appointment to that notice, but they'll look after you nonetheless. Mary Ferry, thank you very much indeed.
Perfect. Thanks, Mary.
All right. It is the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Back with more shortly. You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show live from Gweeddoor. We now have the manager at Donegal Airport, Eilish Docherty, in studio with us here. I keep staying in studio, but we are, I suppose, in a studio of sorts. How are you keeping?
Very well, thanks, Greg.
It's good to have you. Good to see you in person. Should we start off for as if no one knows, right, and you tell us what Donegal Airport is?
Okay, well, Donegal Airport is obviously a small regional airport, probably the smallest regional airport in Ireland, but very, very important to this area of the county. So we have flights operating on a daily basis to Dublin. That's 7 days a week, operating twice daily. And we're starting now in May the 19th, with the flights resuming to Glasgow Airport as well for the summer and continuing right through the rest of the year as well. So we're delighted with that.
And it's well documented at this stage, but we shouldn't take it for granted, the scenic setting of it as well. It's unique in your departure and arrival.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we were awarded for 3 years in a row the most scenic landing in the world. That competition closed after that, but we still hold the title. And
well, that's good, because you're now the linear nicest airport in the world to land into.
Exactly.
You cannot be removed. Well,
yeah.
And why would it?
And, you know, we still have so many passengers flying in just for the experience of coming into Donegal. And, you know, on a day like today, it's beautiful out there this morning. The approach is absolutely breathtaking as you're coming in. It's well worth the visit.
And a great thing about the airport too, and we've talked about it in the past, but I don't think you can talk about it enough, is its connectivity. In other words, you can effectively depart to a destination very far away, and your start of that journey is in Donegal. That's in terms of, you know, security clearance in many cases, baggage, all that type of stuff. Talk us through that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, the flights into Dublin are operated by Aer Lingus. It's Emerald Airlines under the Aer Lingus regional branding. So we're visible on the whole Aer Lingus network worldwide, obviously. We have through tickets, so you can book right through from Donegal to 15 different cities within the US and Canada. So basically you can check in at Donegal Airport, you can transfer your baggage and not see it again until you arrive at your final destination. You go to Dublin, just head straight for pre-clearance, and, you know, it's a very seamless journey. As well as that, you can obviously fly from... Dublin is a major hub, so you can fly to anywhere else in the world through Dublin Airport.
I don't know, there's something about that, just that notion that your holiday starts from Donegal Airport, or your break or your trip or wherever it might be.
Yeah.
But of course then, as you say, you've that connectivity to wherever.
Yeah, and absolutely. And we also have probably the cheapest car hire, or cheapest car parking of all the regional airports in Ireland as well. So you can park your car for €24 for the week.
In terms of inward traffic, have we seen an uptick in people's final destination being Donegal, you know, those travelling to our country.
Definitely. And last year, and again, even earlier, even this year, we're seeing a lot of US traffic coming back again. We have loads of connections every morning of passengers travelling back to the US who have been holidaying in Donegal. So I think, you know, definitely as we go into the summer season now, our whole demographic of passengers will change to a more tourist-based traffic. We, you know, we have our year-round passengers who are travelling for business, for social needs. But in the summer, we see a big influx of tourism coming in as well.
Mm. And it is a community facility as well, of course. You know, it affords people in this part of the world and its surroundings access to care in Dublin as well. And we're going to be talking about that significantly a little later on. And there have been, you know, teething issues over the last wee while and what have you. But generally speaking, it is an effective and efficient service.
It is, absolutely. And unfortunately, as you say, a lot of our passengers are travelling for cancer care in Dublin. I know Mary Coyle will tell you she has over 400 people at the moment that she helps to you know, make their travel
that number blew me away when I heard it the first time. I don't know what I thought the number might be. Mm-hmm. But I didn't sort of think it was going to be 400.
Yeah, and it's staggering. And I mean, obviously, they're not all travelling to Dublin. Some of them are travelling to, you know, the Centre of Excellence in Galway as well. But we have a large number of passengers who travel regularly for treatment. And that service is vital for them because it means they can, you know, be on a flight, be in Dublin in 40 minutes. It cuts out all that road traffic, you know, and just makes the journey just a little bit easier for them at a difficult time in their life.
Yeah, for sure. Anything you can do to sort of ease that process, the better. And in terms of passenger numbers, there was an awful lot of guessing when the world shut down effectively for a couple of years about how long it might take for this to happen and for that to happen and, you know, pent-up demand and all this kind of stuff, you know yourself. But at the end of the day, it was a complete and utter guessing game. How has Donegal Airport recovered, you know, say, for instance, compared to 2019?
Yeah, compared to 2019, at the moment, our Dublin traffic is up 27%.
What do you put that down to?
I put it down to the carrier, to Emerald Airlines. It's a fantastic service. They have, they're operating a larger aircraft, so we have more capacity. They have very good fares. I mean, the fare to Dublin, you can buy a ticket to Dublin for $29.60. So you can fly to Dublin and return for less than €60, which is, you know, is fantastic. And I think all of those things combined, and then just people want to travel again. And we're building on, as I said, you know, those passengers are travelling onwards and making connections to the US. We're building on our business traffic. So we're actually up for the first 4 months of this year. We're up 32% on last year and 27% on 2019. Yeah. So it's a great space to be in.
Brilliant stuff. And in terms of future growth, you know, I mean, obviously the Glasgow flight's coming back on stream and what have you. Are the days where we can hope for, you know, a European connection like that was there in the past or something else? You know, because I think the airline industry itself has reformed to some extent. Mm-hmm. Post-COVID, if that makes sense. And I wonder, do you see those opportunities presenting themselves into the future, or is it a case of sort of consolidating, you know, what really works for both the airport and the airlines?
Mm-hmm. Well, our focus definitely in the last couple of years, and particularly since COVID, has been on consolidating what we have. We feel we're really achieving that on Dublin. We have a bit of work to do on the Glasgow route at the minute. It's just coming back again. We've worked very hard with Loganair to bring that service back and to bring it back to a year-round service. So, you know, there's a lot of concentration this year on marketing that route. But we certainly have, with the board of directors, we've formed a route development committee. We are looking at options. And as you said, we did have a very successful charter to Rotterdam in the past. It's something that we would really like to revisit.
I actually managed to get on one of the first flights to Rotterdam.
You did, yeah. I didn't get that trip, unfortunately, but it was very good.
My first and last time ever in Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Holland, yeah. That's okay. Right. Yeah, as soon as something like that is back, the better. All right, Elish, anything you want to add? Just in terms of, I think, what people need to sort of learn. Firstly, if you're in Letterkenny or that area, it doesn't take long to get over here. You know, I mean, I came over here from that area in 40-odd minutes. The new, it's actually been opened today. Jack Chambers is opening the Dunloe Glenties Road. So in other words, access is improving all the while. It's not as, this could be a tagline, it's not as far away as you might think.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think there is a general perception that you're travelling north to go south.
Yeah, because you know, people used to say, oh, by the time we get to the Donegal Airport, sure, I'd be halfway to Dublin. It's not as simple as that. But it's not really it's not factual, of course.
As you said, you can travel in from Letterkenny in 40 minutes. I mean, journey times are shortening all throughout the county because roads are improving. Mm. For business passengers, I mean, we hear all the time, they use it once and they can continue to use it because they've realised that they can actually work as they travel. You know, they can work after they've checked in while they're waiting to board the aircraft. They can work on the aircraft. They can work on the way into the town.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a really good option and it's a really cost-effective option for companies because, they're, you know, it's cheaper to actually buy a flight ticket than it is to pay mileage expenses to travel to Dublin. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits there.
Excellent. OK, what's mileage expenses? OK, listen, thank you very much, Eilish. Continued success for all. It's going to be a really busy summer, I hope. I'm sure it is, and you can see the trends already. But it's been lovely for you to call over. I know you're short. We drive over to us here, isn't it?
It's only 10 minutes.
Happy days. OK, brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Greg, indeed. OK, that was Eilish Doherty there, manager at Donegal Airport. Back with more in the 9 till noon show, live here from Gweedore. Jesse Gallagher is from Dunloe and joins us on the programme now. Good to have you in. How are you keeping?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Right, you are completed the beauty and trainership, beauty traineeship with Donegal ETB. Before we get to that, why did you decide or what drew you into the beauty industry?
Well, I've always grown up, my mum's a hairdresser, so I've always grown up in like the beauty industry. And I knew from a young age, like I really enjoyed being in the salon and I work with her. And I knew from a young age it was something I wanted to do. And I've always been more into the skin side of it and the beauty side of it. So, and having the course here in my doorstep was so handy. And
it really
helped my decision at being so close to home.
Yeah, so talk to me about your post-second level education then in beauty. What pathway did you take?
Well, I just did my Leaving Cert in Ross Community School and I went straight from my Leaving Cert into Mary's course in the ETB.
Yeah.
And so I'm halfway through it now. We will be finished in September.
Is this a year course that Mary
referenced? It's a year-long course.
And it's intense, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. There's a lot. It's jam-packed into it, but it's well worth it because you're done and qualified in a year. It's a lot of work, but it's well worth it, definitely. It.
And also the advantage of being close to home as well.
Oh, exactly,
if that suits you. Some people can't wait to get away. and talk to me about the course then. What kind of stuff is it focused on? I mean, I know some of it's going to be obvious, but some perhaps less obvious.
Yeah, it's a year-long course, so you have your all your basics, you know, your tinting, your waxing, your massage, and then they added new things onto the course this year. So you have intimate waxing, you have lash extensions, gel polish, Indian head. There's so much in it. And you also do your anatomy and physiology.
What's that?
That brings you up to your level 3.
Yeah, but when we talk about that, is that to understand the structure of the human body?
It's all about the body. So that's what you get in your first year nursing. So you have that in this course. So it's every single system in the body and what it does. And it's all that.
And you sort of have to almost visualise the body without the skin on it.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Where it goes in and out and the tendons and
everything.
That kind of stuff. Brilliant stuff. And also, what's beauty and makeup artistry? Is that a second or is that part of it as well, the same course? Or is
You do makeup and everything in it. So you have that in the course as well.
And what do you hope to do with your qualifications?
Well, whenever I qualify from this course, I'd like to go on to aesthetics.
Mm. So that's what's the aesthetics?
Aesthetics. It's more like advanced treatments, like what they do here in Genesis.
Yeah, brilliant. And so would you have to travel for that, or can you do that locally as well?
I think you can do that in like Sedary and stuff. There's a lot of academies, there's a lot of options, so I need to look into my options, but hopefully not too far.
Yeah, I know. And where do you hope to work when you're qualified?
I'd love to work in a clinic like this, like this, definitely.
And I was chatting to a hairdresser, for an example, who was over in Dubai working over there. I didn't realise, you know, obviously you sort of think teachers, nurses and people in, you know, personal trainers and stuff, but would you like to travel with
definitely, and that's the good thing about this course. You come out with an ITEC qualification, so it'll take you worldwide. You're qualified worldwide, so definitely, and even if I wanted to travel, I can do that, and my qualification will hold me wherever I go.
You're allowed a year or two for life experience, but then you must come back.
Have to come back then.
that's just the That's just the rules. What's your advice to anyone, any younger people or those who wish to, you don't have to be young to sort of take part in these courses and what have you. What would your advice be to someone who, you know, thinks they have an interest in the type of work that you're doing, but something holding them back? Would you say go for it?
Oh, I would say definitely go for it. They do. They hold an open day in the college where I did that before I came down to it, and they tell you all about the course, and I would definitely advise doing it. It's only a year long, and Donna and Mary are so good. You know, they're really helpful, and it's a really great course.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, listen, it's been lovely having you on. Continued success. You finished up in September, then looking at your options, maybe Derry, who's to say where you might end up, and onwards and upwards. Brilliant stuff. Do you want to say hello to anyone that might be listening?
I'll say hello to my mum, my dad and my granny.
Right, mum, dad and granny, that normally gets you away, doesn't it?
I will get killed with that.
All right, good stuff. Listen, thank you so very much. It's been lovely having you on, and it's great to see you being able to progress so well in your own backyard. And you've got great options ahead of you. Jessie, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye, Jessie. All right, that's Jessie Gallagher from Dunlow, who completed a beauty traineeship with Donegal ETB and is currently undergoing the course on which Mary Ferry Brennan works. Okay, the phone lines remain open for you, by the way. 086 60 25 000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25 000, or give us a call on 07491 25 000. A little later on in the program, we have Your Voice, Your Community, where we dedicate some time on a Thursday morning, maybe, to look at a different community within the overall community of Donegal. We're going to be speaking to a member of the Jehovah's Witness community. So any questions in relation to that, give us a buzz, 086 60 25 000. And really pleased to have the Donegal Person of the Year, Moya Brennan, joining us a little later on as well. Back after the news and obituary notices.